Lord, have mercy. What did he tell John in Revelation 1 when he saw him? Verse 17, John said, I fell at his feet as dead in Revelation, the first chapter. He said, but he came near and he laid his hand upon me and he said, behold, I am he that was dead and is alive forevermore and have the keys of death and of hell. See there? I got the keys. Oh, I took them away from the devil. Yep, he did bruise my heel up there on that cross, but I went down in 3 days and fought with him, and I bruised his head beyond recovery. He won't never recover that blow that I administered to him in my death. He thought he'd destroyed and defeated the purpose of God. What he did, he just opened up the whole new horizon for you when he killed me. What a victory. Praise the Lord. Said, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, I want to go on here. I'm injecting a lot of things I didn't intend to put in here. I can't help it. The Holy Ghost wants a little joy and happiness along with it. Praise God. I'd rather preach and rejoice than preach and look gloomy. It's hard for me to look that way. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. See, you got to remember. All his benefits. What does he do? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. These fellows, look, David was looking forward to that cross. It was just as efficacious, just as effective. You could put your trust in God to forgive your sins, to heal your diseases or sicknesses under the old covenant. If you look forward to that cross with faith, you could see the same efficaciousness of Christ's sacrifice that we see by looking back to it. Now, you had to have faith to do it. They all didn't do that. They all couldn't see the same thing David saw, and Moses saw, and Abraham saw, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. Praise God, right on down, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all those prophets. They just didn't see the same thing. But they don't today. Does Christians today see all what I'm preaching to you this morning? Or, well, it's past morning now, a little bit after 12. No, they don't see it. They didn't, they wouldn't be grunting and groaning, writhing and twisting. God have mercy's sake. They forget all his benefits. First, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Floppy, floppy, flop. Soar away up in the stratosphere. Praise God to get above the storm. That's why you got to have the eye of the eagle and the wisdom of the owl. Praise the Lord. And your soul connected with a telephone in the central skies. And stay on it. Praise God. All right, go down a little bit further. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Now, you got to fear God. You've got to fear God to get these benefits. You got to fear the Lord. Don't mean respect him either. You got to reverence him, but you also got to fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we're just old dust. These old bodies worth 98 cents. They were sold for their chemical contents. Well, we're really a valuable piece of dust walking around, aren't we? Primp up and spend more money on these old carcasses you live in. Let the soul famish and feed this old stinking 98 cent body and that soul worth a million worlds like this. No, Jesus did something on that cross that most preachers don't ever tell you about. Hebrews 13 and 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. sanctify us. Paul prayed for us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. And I pray, God, your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, Calvary was a powerful move by God the Father, putting his own son up there that he loved more than himself. Turned his head away so he could die by himself, lonely, rejected. Rejected even of God. He had to die as a sin offering. His soul was offered as a sin offering. God couldn't look on a sin offering. His son, he put all the sins of the world on him in that moment of darkness, that hour of darkness. And his heart burst in his midst like wax. His heart burst like it was wax, loaded with the sins of the world, and God turned his face from it. In that moment of torturous agony. Praise God. No wonder he's at the right hand of God exalted, as Peter said. So that Jesus whom you crucified with wicked hands is at his right hand exalted. Praise God. God put him out of reach of you. You can't get to him no more. Woo! Praise the Lord. Paul said he ever lives to make intercession for him. He said he's on the right hand of the Father. He's seated with honor. He got glorified. His exaltation was to sit at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus said, all power, God has given all power in heaven and earth unto me. Because he was faithful, he was victorious in the mission God sent him to fulfill. To the dotted I and the cross T, he fulfilled it completely. And he did it for us. And he says, going on here in Psalm 103, verse 15. He said, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Look how brief. Dust, just dust that's passing through. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness is unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You remember his commandments to keep the word of God, to put your trust in him by obedience? God remembers you. Praise God, that provision of Calvary is implemented in our life through the Holy Ghost. The Bible calls him the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of life. And those designations makes him infinite in power and wisdom and continuous care and watch over our lives. He is omnipresent. Praise God. And he can do everything we put our trust in him to do. Praise the Lord. Now God's promised to take away all sickness and disease from our bodies. And well, a Christian, however, if you're going to get these blessings of Calvary, you cannot be cynical, you cannot be fatalistic, and you cannot be pessimistic. No pessimist. That's a little lower than a fatalist or a cynic, but you can't be any of these. Now, if you're a cynic, that's one that wishes he was dead because he sees in his own heart the sins of his own heart, the faults in his own life, and he thinks he sees the whole church and every other Christian because he's looking at his own faults and his own sins, and therefore he's miserable. You can't be a cynic and get this great and wonderful blessing from the Lord of Calvary. You can't be a fatalist. A fatalist is one whose life is like a rudderless ship with no known port or destination. Your chart is not even marked. You're just being tossed about without rudder, without compass or guidepost. A fatalist is one with a life out of control, not controlled by self-reliance, just drifting around, trusting in fate. That's where they get the word fatalism from, is fate. You can't trust fate. You've got to somehow have self-reliance enough to conquer your morbidness, your old pessimism, your old fatalism, your old cynicism, and take over and commit your life to the doctrines of the Word of God that brings us in touch with divinity. Praise God. It's only through divine origin Are we the possessors of the benefits of Calvary, the healing and forgiveness and the blessings of heartache and loss and all these other things that God promised through Calvary, the cross of Jesus Christ? My Lord, have mercy. A fatalist is one with self-pity. Goes around feeling sorry for himself. You hear a person say, oh, nobody ever had it hard like me. I don't want my children to have it hard like Mom and Daddy did. Oh, I think the world is conspiring against me. And, you know, they just want to keep me down. They want to hold me back. And all the Christians, they don't like me. And they're against me in every way. You're not going to get the blessings of Calvary. The blessings of Calvary produce happiness. It produces fulfillment. And the greatest word is joy. Praise the Lord. The Bible.